You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
In July 2010, an Enbridge pipeline carrying bitumen from Canada's tar sands burst near Marshall, Michigan. Initially, the operators on duty thought it was an air bubble in the pipe, and they increased the flow. They ended up pumping 1 million gallons of bitumen into the nearby Kalamazoo River. It took 3 days to contain the spill, which spread 30 miles downriver. It's the worst inland oil spill in U.S. history and has so far cost $1 billion to clean up. Anne Castleman is a science journalist who recently toured the spill site, and she joins me in the studio now. Hello, Anne.
Hello.
Now, I understand you actually canoed down the Kalamazoo River, the part that was contaminated. Can you tell us what you saw?
Sure. So I was out there this past May as part of an environmental journalism fellowship with the Institutes of Journalism of Natural Resources. And they got a fellow by the name of Steve Hamilton, who's an aquatic biologist at Michigan State University, to take us on this canoe down this river. I sort of knew what to expect because I had interviewed Steve several months earlier for an article that I wrote about Northern Gateway, actually. But to be on that river was, I mean, it was the definition of cognitive dissonance, because you know that it's the site of, you know, this record-breaking spill, both in terms of cleanup costs and in terms of volume. And yet, to the casual observer, you would not necessarily see anything wrong. It looks great.
Now, that's just on the surface, though. What about beneath the surface?
Well, that's a big question that the EPA is still working on. So the spill happened in 2010. And since then, the EPA has overseen, with Enbridge's cooperation, the cleanup of the spill, which is still ongoing. One thing that the diluted bitumen did is, once the ingredient of it that dilutes it, the condensate, evaporated, the bitumen became heavier and essentially sank into the river sediment. And this was something that none of the cleanup workers or the scientists really knew about bitumen. They didn't foresee this happening. And so cleaning up this, what they call submerged oil, has been a huge hassle. The approach that they're taking is to essentially sort of do open heart surgery on the river, divert the flow of it, empty out the river, dredge out the bottom of it, and essentially take that and put it in a landfill. But having said that, the EPA seems to be doing a very good job of making sure that every ounce of that recoverable oil is removed from that river.
Does the EPA have any idea what maybe the long-term effects could be of the sunken bitumen, or are they just have to go along and learn as they go?
Good question. I believe that all the actions of all these players that sort of mobilized as soon as this spill happened are mandated by laws, essentially, that the Americans have. My understanding is that the EPA, which is a federal entity in the United States, they also were one of the key players in the in the BP oil spill. But my understanding is that the EPA is there to essentially clean up the spill, and then they're out of there. As soon as they're out of there, they have no mandate to continually monitor the river. From then, what happens is actually the Michigan State Department of Environmental Quality will come in and monitor the effect on fish. Of course, fish are of primary concern because there are a lot of recreational fishermen. There's a lot of interest in what long-term effects this oil spill will have on the aquatic life. But no one, as I understand it, is actually looking at the effect on invertebrates, or what some toxicologists call the sublethal effect. So a chemical can kill an animal outright, or it can actually make them so that they can't reproduce anymore, or maybe it shortens their lifespan, or there are a number of ways in which toxins can essentially sort of kill off a population or damage it.
Now, besides the overseeing the cleanup, what other role, if any, does the EPA play in this?
Well, they also sort of have this accounting of all the oil spilled, and they will be fining Enbridge at the end of the day. I believe as soon as they've wrapped up all their work, they will issue Enbridge a fine for the amount of oil that it spilled. So in terms of cost, Enbridge is on the hook for obviously financing the cleanup costs, and also they will incur a fine for the amount of oil that they've spilled into the environment.
Now, you were mentioning that this is not just oil, it's bitumen. What is bitumen, by the way?
Well, this is a really interesting question. So the Scientific American piece that I reported sort of delved into this, and there's almost sort of the science battle taking place between industry and some independent academics. One big question is, what is bitumen? And the oil industry will tell you that, you know, there's a spectrum of oil products from light to heavy crude, and that bitumen is just a heavier form of crude. Some scientists, especially university scientists or independent scientists, will argue that, yes, that is the case, but actually bitumen in some cases has some physical properties, or what the industry calls it weathers differently. It sort of seems to have a different set of rules about it in some cases, not in all cases, but certainly in the case of the Kalamazoo River spill, it acted, its physical properties were such that they were a surprise to everyone.
Now, this spill and the cleanup in Michigan, how does that compare with Canada?
You know, what's shocking is it compares awfully with Canada. I tend to think, as probably most Canadians do, that we have our bases pretty well covered when it comes to this stuff. But evidently, we don't. We haven't had an Exxon Valdez spill, which pretty much mobilized oil spill cleanup regulations, liability laws in the states. I mean, it kind of roused them into a pretty decent state. The best analog that there is for this sort of record-breaking spill in Kalamazoo happened the year after the Kalamazoo spill in 2011 in a small, well, about 30 kilometers outside of, or no, 10 kilometers outside of a small community in northern Alberta called Little Buffalo. In this instance, the spill was light crude. It was reported to be a light crude, so it wasn't diluted bitumen, but in many ways the parallels are sort of eerie. It actually, the spill was larger than the Kalamazoo spill. So there were something like 28,000 barrels of oil spilt into a wetland and sort of northern boreal forest. And similar to the Kalamazoo spill, the oil company or the pipeline company, which is Plains Midstream, it took them, I believe, something like 12 hours to figure out that there actually even was a spill, during which time, I mean, all this oil just gushed into this wetland. In this instance, the because the pipeline sort of pipes product within the borders of Alberta, it's overseen by the Environmental Resource Conservation Board in Alberta. As of this time last year, the ERCB, as it's known, had not actually filed its report on the spill, which is a year and a half afterwards. It wasn't until this past April that the ERCB actually published their report. And that, in part, seems to be because Greenpeace had just published an excoriating report on the lack of accountability, governance, assessment, you know, public interest, et cetera, et cetera, with regards to this spill. In Canadian history, it was the second largest oil spill, and yet no one knew about it.
So with that in mind, what do you suppose we can expect coming up with, you know, as pipelines age in Canada?
That is a really big issue. It seems like the older pipelines are the ones that are springing tons and tons of leaks. There's actually one fellow who is a fearless and at this point sort of continual whistleblower by the name of Evan Voke, who used to work for TransCanada, I believe. And he actually was just in the news for saying that the reason why there's such an increase in these spills is that the regulation on the maintenance of them is just awful. several sort of independent and very well trusted bodies, like the Royal Society of, or maybe it's the Society of Scientists or something like that in Canada, as well as one of our former national auditor generals, have said that the regulations and the enforcement of regulations, checking up on the state of these pipelines, checking up on whether companies are actually acting on infractions, et cetera, are just, they're just in an awful state. I mean, the oil industry is booming, and yet our budget for enforcing or checking up on these pipelines, doing anything like that, seems like a very low priority.
Now, in terms of transporting bitumen in new pipelines, what are your thoughts on the Enbridge's proposed Northern Gateway project?
Well, that's a big question. I mean, I have lots of thoughts. Of course, as a British Columbian, I mean, the Great Bear Rainforest is inimitable. There's nothing else like it. And also, ultimately, I think it's a decision that the coastal First Nations should have. So it's not even, to a certain degree, our call to make. But given that in this setup, the National Energy Board is reviewing it, I think this pipeline probably will be one of the safer pipelines ever built because it's new. Enbridge knows that there are a lot of eyeballs on it. They don't want a spill. Having said that, the risks are really great because if something goes wrong, they go really, really wrong. The people I talked to in Michigan with the Kalamazoo spill, they basically said, this aquatic biologist who sort of did consulting work with the cleanup, he said, you know, it was bad enough here, but if a spill like this happened on anywhere near a river, let's say near a mountain range, i.e. any of our coastal mountains, there's just no chance of cleaning it up. So for me, that's not an acceptable risk.
Well, I want to thank you very much for coming down to the studio and talking to us about this. I've been speaking to science journalist Ann Castleman. Her work has appeared in Scientific American and National Geographic.